The Harder They Fall is the kind of book title you might associate with checkout counter literature. You know, the kind we all covertly grab, from People magazine to the National Enquirer. There are stars in this book about addiction and recovery. There's a rodeo star and a prize fighter. There's a poet and a U.S. congressman and half a dozen rock stars. These are people who exploded through the top of our celebrity culture, fueled by a rocket ship's worth of alcohol or cocaine or heroin. Author Gary Stromberg knew that world, often as a rock publicist and fellow addict. Gary Stromberg has been in recovery for 22 years and joins me now to talk about the book he co-edited with Jane Merrill, The Harder They Fall, Celebrities Tell Their Real-Life Stories of Addiction and Recovery. Gary Stromberg, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jackie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us a little bit about you. You became a publicist who represented the Rolling Stones, Three Dog Night, many others, yet you once went face down into a plate of mashed potatoes at your mother's table on her birthday.
Yes, retrieved by one of my best friends who grabbed me by the hair. Yes, it was a night I don't care to remember, but it's good that I'm reminded of it occasionally.
So how did it all begin?
Well, in the 60s, I fell, I guess, prey to the sex rock and roll generation on the Sunset Strip where I was raised. And I fell in love with music, and as I wasn't trained to do anything particularly, I fell in with a group of musicians, and there was nobody representing rock and rollers at the time, and so I kind of carved out a niche for myself. There were no ground rules, and we had gone very fast and loose, and I don't know why it happened, but we were sitting on top of the world in very short time.
And how old were you?
I was in my late 20s.
You divided the book into sports and the arts and politics. So you've got Congressman Jim Ramstead from Minnesota. You've got Doc Ellis, the baseball player, Annie Lamott, the writer, Dr. John, the musician. Is there something different about celebrities? I mean, there are a host of people in every 12-step program, but is there something different about the way celebrities consume toxic substances?
Only in that they're among the privileged and they're accommodated more readily and easily in their pursuits. So in some respects, I guess it's easier to get in the fast lane when you're famous. But I don't think there's essentially anything different about addiction when it comes to being a celebrity. Other than, you know, we as consumers are more aware of the downfall of the people we've chosen to adore.
Let's look at the writer Annie Lamott. She is known for her memoirs and novels. She lives in San Francisco. Here's something that she has published in your book. I was living on a little tiny houseboat in Sausalito on San Francisco Bay. It was very beautiful. There were all sorts of bohemian types there. People would buy me drinks because I was funny and sweet. Then I'd have sex with people in the bathroom. Everyone seemed to like that in a girl. They'd give me little bottles of cocaine. I'd go into the bathroom. I'd do a couple of huge lines like Sherman cigarettes. Then I'd put some of that aside in my pocket. I might have 12 little packages of coke. Then I'd go home by myself and have a fifth of Bushmills and come down slowly. That's what I was doing when I wasn't on the wagon. I mean, I read this and I thought, how can anyone consume that much stuff and still be standing up straight?
Well, simply put, it's the disease of denial, and therefore it's very difficult for people to find their way unless they really hit some kind of absolute bottom. You recognize that I've had enough, I can't do this anymore.
I was thinking over the celebrities who've succumbed to one form of substance abuse or another, and the roster is so eerily and tragically magnificent. Elvis, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, Lenny Bruce, Jimi Hendrix, Bob Marley, Kurt Cobain, John Belushi. I mean, those names come out with a rapidity like a deck of playing cards being shuffled.
Yes, you know, there's something special about artists and talent, and it may be that, as Annie Lamott actually talks about often, is that they may have to explore the realms of self-destruction and abuse to stimulate their art, to go to the depths that are required to be the artists that they are.
They have to, or they believe they have to?
They believe they have to. In fact, most of the people in this book address that issue, their creativity as it concerns alcoholism, the belief that it's not me, my talent and my is not mine, but it's stimulated by my use of alcohol or substances.
This is also a book about recovery, and people say, I'm better sober. But when you read it, I mean, what is better about being sober other than being, you know, in self-possession? Are you more creative? Are you stronger? Are you better able to cope with life?
Well, initially when you start using substances, it's a gay ride. You know, you're having a great time. You feel that you're more creative. You feel that you're more spontaneous. But then eventually substances turn on you. And what's better about sobriety now is that they're able to do the same things that they did when they first started getting high. They're able to do them sober with an understanding that it isn't about the drugs. It's their talent.
Of all the stories you have in this book, I think nobody travels so high and comes down so quickly as Chuck Negron, the lead singer with Three Dog Night. Before he's 30, he's a millionaire. Within a couple of years, he's on Skid Row living out of a cardboard box.
Chuck crashed harder than anybody had ever seen, and yet watching that happen wasn't enough to stop me. But as deep as Chuck went in his destruction, he has turned it around and become that much more capable of giving in his recovery to help people, using his own story as an example.
Do people get zealous in their recovery, Gary? I mean, is there something a little off-putting?
Yes, we have
a little off-putting?
Yes. We have the lifeboat mentality, as I've described it. You know, we are the people that went down on the Titanic but made it to the lifeboat, and many of us are truly zealots. You know, I was told in my early recovery when I saw that there was a way that, you know, I could live without drugs. You know, I wanted to go in and grab guys out of bars, and I wanted to grab dope dealers and try to show them the life that I was discovering. You know, I was told that the lighthouse doesn't run around the island looking for boats to save. But with time, you know, I've started to learn how to wear my recovery like a loose suit. You know, it's more casual now.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Gary Stromberg, he's the co-author of The Harder They Fall, Celebrities Tell Their Real Life Stories of Addiction and Recovery. You can read a chapter from his book at npr.org.